This shiur has been brought to you from the Sharim Audio Library. For information about Sharim or to order additional CDs, please visit our website, www.sharim.com, or email sharim@sharim.com. Thank you for making Sharim part of your continual learning experience.
Okay, all right, so Ulam. Okay, so we can continue with the Ramchal. He's talking about individual providence. We're on page, as we have said, 116. 114 in the red book. Okay, and 116 in the gray book. All right, V'ulam. Minashos hazeh, we're going to talk now about the significance of the righteous suffering, why the righteous suffer, and what the outcome is, what the positive outcome of that is. Ulam, minashos hazeh yetzeh od anaf echad b'inyan ha'yisurim. There's a capability of a person being righteous, and within him there is sins, there is another goal of hardships, of challenges in life, and that is to awaken the person in order to repent. Okay, we've spoken about numerous responsibilities of challenges. One is to cleanse the person. Sometimes a person might go through a hardship in life that's to cleanse them. Another one here, as we're saying, is to awaken the person. So sometimes the cleansing ones, you can't figure out, okay, why did this happen to me? That might be a cleansing process. Kapalat avonos, what we call. You ever hear that? Kapalat avonos? Maybe that's a little one. Right? So that what is that? That's just a mere cleansing process. He's like, by the stardom, that's like how we say modeani. Kaparatavonos. What do you mean? You didn't love before you drove on the four-way intersection. That's not kaparatavonos. So, the second reality for challenges is here, is to awaken the person. Vumnam. This only happens to a righteous person or a mediocre person, a benoni. A normal person, what we would call. Okay? Average, however you want to determine it. Okay? But not to evil people. So I want to point out to you like this. What that means is that if someone has gone through a challenge, and that challenge has created an awakening spirit within them, you can very much rely on the fact that either you're righteous, or you're somebody that God believes in can repent, but you're definitely not evil. Okay? That's what the Ramchal is saying. They're not hardships that cleanse the person, to cleanse the person in this world. They are hardships that awaken you, to awaken the heart to repent. The only reason there is hardships is merely because of the person's sins. Meaning hardships don't have a right to befall upon the person unless the person sins. Now, being that even Moshe Rabbeinu sins, you know, we shouldn't feel uncomfortable about this, because it's normal. God understands that, right? God has mercy on us. Obviously, God wants that the person shouldn't sin. That's God's ultimate desire. Just as an, you know, let me ask you a question. Is the evil inclination happy when we sin? Is the evil inclination happy when we sin? Meaning, his whole purpose is the challenge. He doesn't want you to fall, because he wants to do the will of God. He's doing the will of God. What's the will of God? The will of God is to give you a test. He doesn't want you to fall. He wants you to pass. It's just like a professor giving you a test. He wants you to pass and get the right answer. The right answer is, don't eat the cheeseburger. The one I was going. Okay? So the point is, God doesn't want us to sin. Not only that, he doesn't give us a test that we can't pass. What about the test that we put ourselves in? Right? That's a different category. A person can't stick their hand into an oven and say, oh, when I get burned, I can't believe this happened to me. Okay, Einstein, don't stick your hand in the oven. It won't happen. In a similar vein, we should look at our own lives and say, well, if you chose to go to such and such place, don't complain why such and such might be occurring or approaching you on that. Yes, you just had it. He doesn't want you to sin because he is an angel, as is every other angel. His job is to give you reward. Everything that you have in the world to come is because of him. Why? When you pass him, you get reward. And he's what makes your test valuable. Meaning, let's just take an easy one, right? Like I was saying, something, an easy test that he'll present you with. You're working now on keeping kosher. And then he presents you with a non-kosher food item. Does he want you to eat it? No. Why does he give it to you? Once you pass that test, you will now get reward for not eating that food in the world to come. Eternal. Just like the professor who gives you a test. Does he want you to pass? Yes. Why doesn't he give you the answers? He wants you to pass. He wants you to work hard in it so you can earn the level of reward. So he wants you to overcome him. He's in a sense rooting you on. He doesn't want you to fail. See, in Western society we have that guy with the long tail and the red ears and the pitchfork. That's what we think, but that's not. The evil incarnation is an angel, as is everyone else. Okay. Like, if you want to go learn in yeshiva and Eilat, it's like, what do you mean? I understand. I'm going to yeshiva and Eilat. What do you mean, Rabbi? I'm going to see the land and Eilat. So that's like not, you understand? That's called putting yourself in a test. Don't, then a person can say, why do I overcome? Why can't I? Can't, I can't pass the test. Because you put yourself in a test of
sin.
So if you did nothing maliciously wrong and the test popped up, that's called God giving you a test. That's very natural.
Okay.
Yeah. Personally, do you want like a joke on this one?
No.
I have a great one that's been recorded. I can't do it. Who is he? He is an angel that God created, as every angel that is incorporated within our spiritual DNA, who is working tirelessly to provide situations for us to be challenged by. He is. The Almighty doesn't want the person to sin. And if a person sins, God wants us to repent. Now, if a person does sin and the person does not repent, then that's where the hardships have to come in. That's where the punishment comes in. So the first step, a person will receive hardships that will awaken the person, right? So it comes in stages. First of all, God doesn't want us to sin. He's going to give us a test, right, that we can pass. After God proceeds to give us a test that we can pass, and we choose not to pass it, then God proceeds to give us the opportunity to do tshuva, which is a tremendous mercy. Let's think about for a minute. If somebody wronged you, somebody stole your wallet once, twice, three times, you wouldn't hire them to work in your business, right? You probably even wouldn't be friends with them. And more than that, you might even speak bad about them. Here, God's telling you, okay, you sinned once, I'm going to let you do tshuva. Repent and erase it. That's a tremendous mercy God has. Furthermore, if a person doesn't, then God awakens them with hardships. So according to this equation, what's the best way to avoid certain hardships?
Not to sin.
Okay, right? Not to sin or to repent. Repenting, again, hardships is only given to us in order for certain hardships are given to us in order to cause us to repent. If we repent without the hardships, God has no reason to give us the hardships. We have wiped our own slate clean. That's what Arizal says, that a person who judges himself in this world is not going to get judged in the world to come. Why? You have wiped your own slate clean. There's no reason for God to pursue it. Isn't that beautiful? That's amazing. If you live with a constant equation of your life, positive, negative, you know, making a strong effort to do the right thing and to fix things that we haven't done wrong. God says there's no reason for to send you these hardships. There might still be hardships coming the person's way to cleanse a person. That's why you find that a person who's embarked on the tshuva path, in the beginning, you notice there's a lot of hardships that come their way. You guys notice. You think about your own life. You started embarking on the Shabbat path. All of a sudden, all your friends call you up and say, hey, we're going out, it's the 21st birthday, we've been together forever, what do you mean? You're leaving religious and have to do this, and all that kind of stuff, and you're smarter than us, you're better than us, and then you start, okay, I'm keeping most of Shabbat. Now, that's when the challenges start. Why? That's the cleansing process starting. It starts at that point. Your friends who have been supportive of you forever, all of a sudden are giving you a hard time. Now, dafka now. Why? That's the cleansing process. And it can come in any form. It doesn't have to just be losing a wallet or a cheeseburger. Any challenge towards your dedication to God is part of this. Yeah. And in fact, the Gemara says if a person experiences 30 days without hardships, he should get worried. The Gemara says, "Ad hechan yisurin." The Gemara says, "How far do hardships go?" They say, "If you stick, listen to this. This is beautiful. Listen how beautiful this is. If you stick your hand into your pocket, into your pocketbook, and you need a nickel, and instead you come out with 25 cents and have to go back in and get a nickel, that erases from your sin." Again, you reach your hand into your pocket, you need to get a certain amount of money, and the wrong amount comes out. You say, "Oh, now I have to go stick my hand back in." That is an amount of hardships that wipes off sin. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. Meaning, now you stuck your hand into your wallet, right? And then you came up with the wrong amount. What do you have to do? I have to stick my hand into my wallet again, right?
Isn't it amazing the fact that you just got more than you asked for?
No. Like, my point is this. You had to stick your hand into your wallet, and then because it was such a challenge, you know, you didn't come up with your own money, you had to go back again and to, you know, go through that terrible challenge of sticking your hand into the wallet, and you're waiting by the toll, and you're trying to fiddle for $7, and six come out, and you have to fiddle for another dollar. That amount of hardship erases from your sin.
It doesn't have to pertain to anything that...
Well, then God has the ultimate, like, you know, equation of how much... what erases from what. But my point is, it just goes to show you how beautiful, how merciful God is. More than that, the Chida says, listen to this one. The Chida is Rabbi Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He grew up in, he was a Torah sage, a big Kabbalist that lived about 200-300 years ago from Turkey. A tremendous Torah sage, also had Ruach HaKodesh, and his bones were actually brought here to Israel about 50 or so years ago. It's an interesting story that they brought his bones from where he was, because they had to dig up the place where he was, and they had to bring his bones, and the coffin fell on the floor. So all his bones got rearranged. Shushifiyah never seen, but Mordechai Eliyahu was part of the group holding up the coffin. So he asked for forgiveness from the Chida, but he has to rearrange his bones. And before he got a chance to, like, stick his hands in, he said the box, like, was shuffling, and you heard, like, everything sort of straightened out. That's the Chida. So the Chida says the following. The Chida says that the amount of sweat that you sweat preparing for Shabbat is as if you are crying on your sins and erases from your sins. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? The Chida says that. The Chida says that. So I'm saying that the amount of sweat that you sweat preparing for Shabbat, meaning the hardship that you go through and the sweat that you have preparing for Shabbat, erases for your sins as do tears, as if you cried on your tears. So you know when you have the question, who's going to take out the garbage on Shabbat? Go for it. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Dam nirza. Dam nirza means that blood is an atonement. The Gemara says that when a woman, especially a woman, is preparing for Shabbat and she slices herself and she gets a cut and she bleeds, that's as if that woman has put blood or something on the altar for the Almighty. Doesn't mean you should go ahead and take it. One thing. It doesn't mean you should go ahead and, like, slice your finger off. This is yours. It goes to show you how merciful God is when you're involved and engaged in performing a mitzvah. How much God takes into account your challenge. Yeah. So the two points we were saying were the following. First one is the Chida. Which one? Cutting the hand? Let me start from the top and then I'll go. The Chida says like the following. The Chida says that when you're preparing for Shabbat and you're sweating, those sweats are considered in front of the Almighty as if you had cried on your sins in atonement. And the Gemara says, Dam nirza. Blood is an atonement. So when you're engaged in a mitzvah and you injure yourself or you bleed, especially, is if you've provided a sacrifice on the altar of God. Just because my point for this is that we have to keep in perspective how much God wants to erase our sins. He's sort of like, can I use rooting now?
Yeah.
Can I use rooting?
No, it's fine if you're doing it anyway.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just trying to make nobody fall asleep. So in this one, God roots us on that we should really, you know, atone for our sins. And that's what the Ramchal is saying. that in lo yitorer adam bahem az yitaser bisurei amiruk. Then God goes ahead and gives us hardships that are just there to erase from the sins. All this is so that we are able to make it to the world to come clean. And we have to appreciate why all this is happening. Why is all this happening? All this happens specifically to us, the Jewish people. Why? Because God wants to sit with us in the world to come. Why does He want to sit with us? Because we chose to embrace the Torah. We're a chosen people, and God wants to sit with us in the world to come. Why doesn't He just give us easy streak for 120 years and then clean it in the world to come? Why do it down here? And the answer is because if God waits until after 120, the dirt is so entrenched within us that the only way Hashem to clean us is eradicate. Understand? That's why if a person goes through hardships in this life, what it does is when he gets upstairs, he's clean. And if you notice, Torah sages, real Torah sages, many of them, before they pass away, they go through many hardships. They go through hardships, not feeling well, and things like that. That's making sure they come to heaven 100% clean. Yes, okay, now I'll just take the world for questions. Yeah?
I was thinking, you're thinking about blood, like if you're involved in this, and you cut yourself on an accident, and kind of like a korban or something like that. I was going to say, could that be also used in the same light as like waiting or something?
Yes, any time that you are going through a hardship, especially engaged for a mitzvah, is an atonement process.
When you just cut your hand, you randomly or like...
So you just randomly take a knife and cut your hand?
No, but you're not involved in mitzvah, but...
The Gemara says it's specifically about mitzvah.
Okay.
Okay, you're actively pursuing a mitzvah, and then...
Isn't it kapala, like sometimes you can cut your finger and you don't know the reason, but it's...
Yeah, but here we're talking about it being like a sacrifice in front of God. So this pertains only to the situation when you're actively pursuing. Furthermore, another form of hardship that you should very well be aware of is when God shuts off the spiritual pipes that a person might have. What do I mean? That means that you'll have this a lot of times with people working on prayer. There are times in your life when you don't feel inspired to be able to pray or to keep Shabbat or modesty or kosher or whatever it is. Right? We all have that. When you start on your path of Judaism, you're very inspired. You sort of see the light and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, after a while, it's gone. Where's the light bulb? Right? The answer is, what did God do? Now is where God wants to see if you're dedicated enough to serve Him without inspiration. That's a very high level. That's a very high level. It means you're strong, not that you're weak. If you feel like your spiritual pipes have been shut, it's because it's a sign that you're strong and everything's normal, you know, then it's a sign that you're strong, not that you're weak. Yes. You understand that? Meaning, let's say you've been keeping Shabbat for a while, all of a sudden it just like dissipated. And you realize, hey, this is not Shabbat, I'm just stuck in my room reading Harry Potter for 25 hours. Where did the inspiration go? The answer is, it's because now God wants to see, will you adhere to my mitzvot without having a feeling of aspiration? And if you do, that is clearly an atonement of sins that you might have done, which type of sins? Sins you might have done with excitement. Sometimes there's the actual sin, and then there's the person who gets the bus ready and, you know, invites everybody and gets everybody riled up. Okay, we need to do a little cleansing on that type, that cleaning part. What is it? Something I said? Okay, let's go on. You should know that the Almighty gave a limit to this, to the evil person. Now we're talking, remember, we're not talking about the righteous anymore, and we're not talking about the average person, the person in the middle, we're talking now about the sinner. The Almighty put a limit on how much evil this evil person could do. When he reaches that level, the God will not wait for him. Then he will be lost. Does this sound a little bit like world history? Nations just evaporating in an instant. Why is that so? Because if they're not doing the right thing, and if they're doing evil things, then at a certain point God says, okay, you have filled your basket, there's no room for your evil anymore, and you have to be eradicated. And this is what means when our sages say the basket got full. Right? This happens on a national basis. This also can happen on an individual basis. This, if a person does not lucky enough to merit to God's awakening, or to hardships cleansing him, and he just leads a life where he doesn't go through hardships, then at one point, God says, okay, that's enough. You've done your job. You can't do any more evil. Now I have to take you out. And until that point, the person could be successful. Why could he be successful? Why does God let this person be successful in his evil? Why doesn't God stop him? This evil person eventually is going to get eradicated. Why does God let him go on his path? Okay, that's one reason. That's true. To change his wants too. Okay.
Also, probably Hashem doesn't care about that person anymore. Like, he's not going to try to, like, okay, bring upon many, like, wake up calls or.
Okay, care is, I wouldn't use the word care, but I would say that the way a person wants to go, that's the way God's going to take him. It's, our sages say that if a robber stands outside of a bank and prays for God to help him, God will help him. God will help him. That's the path you want to take. I will make you successful in your path. The evil person that wants to go in an evil path, God will make him successful. Therefore, just in terms of us, like some practical advice, when you want to pray for something, don't necessarily pray for that. Say, if that's what's good for me, please let me have it. If it's not what's good for me, take it away. Or let me see that it's not good for me. That could be a shidduch, that could be a job, that could be a school, that could be an apartment, it could be anything. Okay? That God lets him succeed because that's the path he wants to go. You want to go in that path, God will make you successful. I mean, I'm not going to point out specifics because, you know, I know somebody's going to raise their hand and say, no, they weren't really evil and whatever. But just think of, in just in world history, of evil people who have, like, just disappeared overnight or the way that they have gone. You know? Guys, am I safe on saying Saddam Hussein wasn't, like, a righteous person? Is that alright? You know, just the way that he was taken out. He was hung, and just the embarrassment that he has, and he led such a comfortable life up until that point. Just the wealth that he had within his own palace was, you know, they say like the handles were made of like gold or something, the bathroom handles or something like that. That's what they say. What you could look, obviously I'm not a prophet and I can't say sure, but I would venture to take an educated guess that God was like extending his rope until a point God said, okay, until here. That is true. Okay, and that's what we're saying here. Habali tame putchino. If a person wants to go in a path of tum'ah, of impurity, so then God will open the way for him. God will open the door for him. Okay, which is very. When he reaches that point where he's not allowed to have any more impurity, because God says that this world is called tikkun olam, meaning God always keeps things in balance. And if that person is infringing on the balance of the world, God will say, okay, you stop here. Shagia lo tovud v'argia l'avadon v'yovad v'ne az yichra af Hashem, then God will be let out his wrath v'tipol alav sho'a shushmad va, and then the person will be eradicated. Yeah.
So if a good person bothers for something that's not good for them, and like they think it's good for them and they really, really want it and they're bothering for it, will Hashem guide them in that way? Or no?
Not necessarily, no. Not necessarily. No, it applies to the bederach adam, the adam olech molichinoto. The way that you go, God will make you.
Like,
will give that. If you pray for something that's not good for you, you might get it.
But what if you think it's good for you and you really, really want it?
You still might get it. It's not good for you, though. That's why it says.
I thought it was just for like evil people.
It says that a person on certain times of the year when you're not allowed to get married, but engaged. Our sages say you should get engaged at that time. Why? Lest someone else, you know, prays and takes whoever it is. You know, even though they were destined for you, but the prayer has power to shift things around, even if it's not coming to you. No, I rather not.
How scary!
No, it's not so hard. Because if you pray that God opens the doors for you and, you know, gives you the right path, then you're good. Is the Holocaust any easier to understand? What's the answer to that? God knows what he's doing.
But it's human to be like, that's hard. Like, I get it, but it's hard.
I'm not. Okay, let's get straight what I mean by hard. I don't mean a person should be throwing a party at that time, right? What I'm saying is that it's definitely hard as me as a human being to witness it and to see it happening, but to understand it intellectually is not hard. Because it, understand, there's a difference. I'm not saying it's easy for us to accept it and live with it, but to understand that God ultimately knows what's right is Yeah.
How does a person know
something is good for them? In all truth, you have to pray for God giving you the wisdom to make the right decisions. You should pray not only for something specific, but you should pray for God giving you the wisdom to make the right choices in life as well. That's totally acceptable. That's really the best way as far as that. Okay, let's continue a little bit more, guys. We have another minute. עוד צריך לדעת שהנה השגחה עיונה בכל פרט מהפרטים משגחת על כל הנקשר בו מן הקודמים ומן האחורים. Okay, this part is totally about what we're talking about. Furthermore, we have to understand that the divine providence guides everything that happens and everything that's connected to whatever it is that took place. וסוף דבר משגחת בהשגחת כל פרט על כל הכלל כולו. And now, not only does divine providence look at the individual, but it also looks at everything that's connected. That's why when something occurs and it has ramifications on others, God has that in the exact equation. The Gemara says, for example, when a person is climbing up a ladder and he falls down and kills someone mistakenly, right? So now what does he have to do? He has to go run to an Ir Miklat. He has to go run to a city of however you say it in English, right? Refuge. So the Gemara continues to say, now there's somebody who's going to be chasing to kill him, because the way it is, if somebody killed mistakenly in this particular predicament, the person who is related to the person who died has the right to kill him. The Gemara now puts everything in perspective and says that the person who fell had killed in his previous reincarnation, and the person that's chasing to kill him, the person who died had killed in his previous reincarnation and deserved death. The person who fell on him, I don't remember the exact point, but in the way the Gemara speaks, says everyone had a role in the previous reincarnation and God just made it fulfilled on this particular lifetime that everyone gets what's coming to them and now they're all clean. So that's what he's saying here. בכל פרט מהפרטים משגחת על כל הנקשר. The Almighty looks at all the different variables. מן הקודמים ומן האחרים. וסוף דבר משגחת בהשגחה כל פרט על כל הכלל כולו. At the end of the day, God holds every single entire equation. And therefore, God knows what exactly is happening with everyone. מצד כל מה שמתייחסים, כל החלקים, כל חלק בעניינו של הכלל. Okay, so it's as if you have a building, God sees the entire picture, and based on that, He makes a decision. And all this is for one reason. What's that one reason? That is to sanctify God's name. Okay? So, just as an ending note, what do we see over here? We saw that there's different reasons for hardships, and what we introduced today is this concept that hardships are there to awaken people. In our last class, we've spoken about hardships being there to cleanse, just as a cleansing process, and now we're talking about the fact that hardships are there as an awakening vehicle. Okay, we'll stop here.